Like, you're only ever using the L and R triggers, and it's, you're constantly spinning like you're holding on to door handles.
Yeah.
How do you open doors, Shannon?
I mean, like, imagine if you're holding onto a doorknob and it just kept spinning.
I would not hold onto that doorknob.
That's kind of where my head went.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 423 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for Monday, July 23rd, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me this week, we got Shelby.
So I had an idea for a Kickstarter thing. I'm not a huge fan of crowdfunding, but, you know, it has its place.
There are always exceptions to the rule.
Well, let me see if this is an exception to the rule. I want to Kickstart or crowdfund a music album of Cookie Monster doing covers of Weezer songs.
I like this idea.
Okay, well, good. I look forward to my GoFundMe starter kicker.
Do you have any particular, like, what's going to be the first single off of that?
I mean, probably the sweater song, right?
Okay. Every time somebody talks about a sweater song, all I think about is the SpongeBob song.
If you want to destroy...
I can't do it. I can't. I tried.
I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't know. I can't do it.
Cookie, give cookie to destroy my sweater. Om nom nom nom.
You know, something like that.
Shannon, do you have a favorite Weezer song you want Cookie Monster to sing?
I was all for the sweater song. I mean, it's very cliche, but it would work. And then anytime there's a breakdown, you just have Cookie Monster go to town on some cookies.
Beverly Hills.
What about you, Ethan? Favorite Weezer song you want Cookie Monster to sing?
All I can really think of right now is that episode of The Office where they were making the Cookie Monster joke.
I don't remember that episode.
I'm not going to explain it.
Okay. Well, I've seen The Office. I've watched it twice, but I don't remember that episode right off the top of my head.
Also, that's my excuse for not knowing a Weezer song.
What's with these homies?
I only know two Weezer songs, and that's the sweater song and Buddy Holly.
I can't do it without laughing. So you know what? Just, you know, practice at home. Yeah. Send in your fan submissions. Maybe you'll make the secret tracks.
There you go.
It's a Kickstarter tier. If you pay upwards of $3,000, we will feature part of your song in a medley, at the end of the album.
Okay. That's a pretty high price for that.
But, hey, you know what? Cookie Monster, we got to get that Sesame Street license. It ain't cheap.
That is true. The Sesame Street license is probably not cheap at all.
We're very excited to announce our partnership with Nabisco and Oreos on board.
Yeah!
They're making a special Cookie Monster flavored Oreo, so look forward to that as well.
Cookie Monster flavored Oreo.
Yeah.
Just empty boxes.
Exactly. Thank you, Ethan. One man on the whole show paying attention. All right, folks! That's been episode 423 of the Nintendo Oki podcast. We will see everybody in 7 days. Shutting it down.
I think the intro has to stop right there.
The podcast has to stop. What are you doing? I'm shutting this machine off. That is a walk-off if I ever heard one.
Well, let's take a quick break. If we come back, then we'll talk about some games. Otherwise, the show's over. All right, Ethan, you get to go first this week. What have you been playing?
I played Wolfenstein 2.
Okay.
The New Colossus.
Yes, you're playing this on Switch.
No, I finished it on Switch.
Oh, you're playing it on something else now?
No, I finished it this week.
Okay. I'm so confused.
Reviews live on the site, by the way.
Awesome.
Oh, I need to archive that.
Oh, yeah, like I put it up there today, so good game, very good game, recommend it.
Yeah.
Oh, and the thing I thought was a censored version of Wolfenstein 3D,
mm-hmm.
is actually Wolfstone 3D. It is the Nazi-made equivalent of Wolfenstein, so it's just a role reversal of everyone on there, including who you play as.
Okay.
So I might actually go and try to play through that and see if they altered like the ending for that game as well.
So you're just going to fight a giant BJ Blazkowicz at the end?
Probably, yeah.
Mecha Hicker versus Mecha BJ Blazkowicz.
Well, it's like his head in a robot body or something. I don't know. I never finished the original.
I never played a Wolfenstein game in my life.
Those games get tough towards the end. Anyway, like I said, good game. I highly recommend it. The review is live on the site. Tony, you need to play it sometime.
I do. It is one of those games that is very high on my list of need to own on Switch.
Yeah, it's amazing that it even... I would be amazed that it's running, but I know they got Doom to work on there, so it's pretty good. Like that.
I think it's probably, of all of the big-name games that have made that move to Switch, the one that runs the, quote, worst, but still is a fantastic-looking game from what I've seen.
Okay, that's fair. Although I did spoil myself when I saw that video for when I was trying to find some upgrade stuff on there after accidentally finishing it.
Yeah, you watched like a PS4 version or something, didn't you?
I think it was PC. That thing was running 60 frames a second. Yeah. It was smooth, too. Oh. Anyway, didn't really do much else. Did some streaming with Jason. We streamed the usual stuff, Corpse Party and Inside.
Okay.
And then last thing I played was Minecraft on the, what is it? Oki? What'd you call the server?
It's just the Nintendo Oki Realm. Okay. I think is what it's called.
I thought you had like a abbreviation like Oki Realm or something on there.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought I just called it Nintendo Oki Realm. But yes, I think it was last week we talked about starting a realm. And we actually have. So it is live. It is going on the Switch. You can access it from the Switch, the PC, Xbox, or mobile. You have to be a friend of me because we can't get the link to it working. So you have to be a friend of mine, and you should be able to find it in your friends list. My gamer tag is SmileyRider34 for anybody that isn't a friend of mine yet on Minecraft. But yeah, get in there. I think there's been probably 8 people altogether in and out of that realm so far.
And you made the mistake of letting me have creative access.
Yeah, I gave you admin permissions.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so Tony, what's your one of your biggest fears?
Weeping angels.
What?
Shelby, a weeping angel is something that can only move whenever you're not looking at it. And when you look at it, it's just a stone statue.
They're booze. Yes.
Essentially, yes. They're like booze.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only scarier.
Oh, King Boo. Got it.
Well, yeah. They move like extremely fast, though. Like you blink, one's like a mile away, and then it's like right in your face when you blink.
Yeah.
You blink.
Yes.
So don't blink.
Don't blink.
It's gonna be hard. It's kind of involuntary.
Anyway, I was building my house in Minecraft. I decided to build it where no one should be able to reach it without some trouble.
It's very inaccessible to most people.
By design. So I got it built, and then I was decorating my house. And I was putting armor stands down. They have a kind of person shape, and you put your armor, suit of armor all over it, and then a sword in its hand or whatever. And this random idea hits me. I should go and plant these in people's houses.
Like, yeah.
Standing behind their doors.
So what happened was I had been talking to Ethan earlier. He sent me some pictures of some stuff he was doing in the realm. And so I logged in. I was going to see what he was doing. I happened to spawn in the basement of my house because I was building something there last time I had stopped. And I started to walk up at the stairs, and I thought something seemed weird. It seemed awfully dark. I thought maybe just something hadn't popped, some texture hadn't popped in or whatever. But I got to the top of the stairs, and I couldn't get out. There were blocks blocking the top of my stairs. So I thought, okay, Ethan has been here. I knew immediately what was going on. Ethan had just locked me in my basement and I was going to have to dig my way out.
It puts lotion on its skin.
So I started to dig my way out. And as soon as I got the first block gone, there is an armor stand staring me in the face with a sword pointed at me. And I didn't know what to think. So I got rid of the rest of the blocks, and my entire staircase is surrounded by armor stands that are pointed in towards the stairs with swords in their hands. And behind them are signs that say, "Don't blink." And everybody in my living room just started laughing because they knew exactly what he had done.
There's two living rooms in this scenario. There's the fake one and the real one.
So everyone in the real living room started laughing. Because most of my family was in the living room at the time.
I was hoping you weren't in the basement area. Because it had less of an impact than it would have if you came in the front door or back door.
So the other thing that happened was I went back down into my basement to go do something. And I have built this little area that goes out into this lake that is next to my house. It's just a little observation area that I've covered with glass so that I can see in underwater from my house. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden glass behind me breaks and my thing starts flooding with water. And I turn around, there's nobody there. I am looking everywhere to try to find out why the glass in my house is breaking, because it doesn't do that by itself in Minecraft. I didn't see a name. I didn't see anybody around, nothing. And then all of a sudden, Ethan just pops into existence. He had drank an invisibility potion and was doing things in my house that shouldn't have been happening because they don't happen in Minecraft.
I replaced the glass.
Yes, you did.
What about all the water that flooded?
It's not the source block, so it doesn't stay around for very long.
Okay.
So there were strange things happening in Minecraft today because Ethan has more power than he should ever have.
That's your fault.
It is.
Yeah, I told him it's his fault as well.
Also,
yeah.
Ethan, knock it off.
Oh, so, the other thing was I learned how to put curtains over doors and windows as well.
Yeah, all my windows had been blacked out by curtains. So I now have in my basement a double chest that is full of pieces of armor stands, black banners that he used as curtains, swords, just a huge chest filled with all that stuff. I have no idea what I'm going to do with any of that.
I wonder when Mike's going to log in.
So where do the Weeping Angels come into play, or was that just a joke?
Armor stands were a reference to the Weeping Angels.
Oh, okay.
Just something that's an inanimate object that looks like it's about to attack you.
Yeah.
And if you blink, then it attacks you.
Yeah. So, yeah, Ethan is playing practical jokes on people in our Minecraft server.
Sounds like fun.
Also, don't take away my creative access because I can't get to my house then.
You better shape up then. That's what it sounds like to me.
So I had to hack the server after a while. Minecraft, that was kind of a good little bit today, doing stuff on there. But that is all I've been playing.
What are you buying?
I got Sonic. Wait, did Sonic? Yeah, Sonic Mania Plus came out this week. So yes. I got that.
I have a question about that. Did you rebuy the whole thing, or did you just buy the update to
Sonic? I bought the physical version.
Okay.
Yeah, since the previous one was not a physical version.
Gotcha.
Okay. Haven't played it yet, so that's going to be fun when I get around to it. Amazon Prime Day was a thing this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kept checking to see if they had anything I was interested in. Didn't really see much. And then just one random time I see Dissivia Final Fantasy NT for PS4 for like $30 less than it should be. So I went to buy it and it said I had an option. I could change the to a special edition or whatever, the Steelbook edition it is, I guess. I'd change it to that to see if the price was still the same, and it was. So for like $20, got the Steelbook edition. And I got a Steam Link, or two Steam Links and a Steam controller in. So All that fun stuff came in.
Uh-huh. Everyone wants to be like the cool guy.
So you're saying I want to be like myself.
I mean, you're saying you're copying me exactly. Not only did you buy two Steam Links, but you bought the Steam controller as well. The person who, when I made this announcement, was like, oh, those things stink.
Because I already owned them.
Okay, well.
And now Izzy owns a Steam Link and Steam controller, and I only own two Steam Links and a Steam controller.
All right.
So that's what happened. I gave him a gift.
That's cool.
That's it for me.
All right. Shannon, what about you? What have you been playing?
I have not played a lot. We had, with my full-time job, we had a national sale going on, which is a first for my company. So busy all week long. And then I'm home alone with Travis this weekend. So what I did play, I am playing for review. We got a copy of Nidhogg 2 for the Xbox One. So I started playing that, just going through the adventure mode where you're, which is kind of new from what I remember, because there wasn't really any sort of story mode to the first one. For those of you who don't know what Nidhogg is it's like a fencing game. It's 1v1. The original game was pretty much the graphics of an Atari 2600 game. I mean, it was very simple, very, whoever's sword was higher, when you went to go stab somebody, you killed them, and you keep running to the right or to the left, and you want to get eaten by the worm at the end in each level, and you want to be the first one eaten every time. It is absolutely nonsense, but it is twitchy and it is fun. And this is very much a sequel. It's like the jump from 8-bit to 16-bit. It looks like you're playing a Super Nintendo game. Even the color schemes are very much of that era. Everything is 90s neon and just really cool looking. The overworld for the adventure mode reminds me a lot of the spinning graphic for Yoshi's Island. Just how it kind of like each one of the stages just kind of moves around this spinning 3D graphic in the center. It looks really cool. But I will get some time to do local competitive with that in the coming week and try and get a review up.
Okay.
But that is all I've played.
What? Darn it.
What are you buying?
My copy of Taiko no Tatsujin for the Switch finally shipped. I say finally shipped. It shipped like on launch day, which was awesome. So according to DHL tracking, it should be here on Monday or Tuesday. So that is, I'm very much looking forward to. I played the demo from the Japanese eShop, which I highly recommend everybody check out. They're doing some really cool stuff with the HD Rumble that I noticed immediately. And I think is really cool. You guys remember when I think it was Kirby Star Allies would play green through the HD Rumble?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing something really similar, which is whenever you have big drum notes come through, whether it's a red or a blue drum note, when you hit those, the HD rumble sounds like you're hitting the rim of a drum or you're hitting the center of a drum. It is really cool, and you're feeling nice. It in your hands. It's really neat. It's more pronounced when you're playing it with the buttons and you have the controllers attached to the Switch. I guess just because of the vibration moving across the system. But you can still feel and hear it if you're just doing the motion controls, which I will also say the motion controls work incredibly well. You just treat both Joy-Con like they're bocce. And you just act like you're hitting a drum in the middle of the air, and it works really well. So I may have wasted my money buying a drum controller, but we'll see. And then just a couple minutes ago, I picked up Kohime Enbu Ryo Ria Ria. Ryo Ria Ria.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't either. Shelby, you could have saved me there, but that's all right. That's it for me. I'm pretty, enjoying pretty simple week. A lot of drown. Work.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, I mean, unless you guys want to talk about Amazon Prime Day. I mean, I didn't pick up any games on Prime Day, but they had all the Studio Ghibli stuff. All those Blu-rays were on sale. And then there was also that Sentai Filmworks thing that happened. And that box finally arrived. Let's see. I gave Travis a budget when we went to GameStop today, and he decided to pick up some Pokemon plushes.
Did he get any Rifen bargains?
You know, they've been doing these plushes where it comes with like a Pokeball and a Pokemon together, and they're fairly decent sized, but he got three of them for $5 a piece, so I feel like he did pretty well.
There you go.
So what did he get? He got Squirtle, he got Cyndaquil, and Chikorita. And each one of them came with a different Pokeball. So like a Premier Ball, a Dive Ball, and a Repeat Ball, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We watch a lot of Pokemon.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. That's it for me. Shelby?
Hello.
What's up?
The aforementioned Steam Link and Steam Controller. Ethan's right, those things stink. Like, honestly, I don't know how anyone can be expected to play a game via this Steam Link. Like, granted, my computer is not necessarily that strong, but like, it drops frames, it drops sound here and there, it slows things down. So my setup is I have the Steam Link hardwired into my router, and my computer is wirelessly connected to it across the house, across the room, whatever you want to say. So I'm sure that slows it down, the fact that the computer is not hardwired into the internet. But also, I can't imagine a situation where someone has their computer, Steam Link, and TV all within wire's reach of the router and not just have the TV... A computer hooked straight into the TV, so I don't know. I guess people get out of the internet in other rooms wired because they got it in the walls. I don't have that. I don't know. Like it serves the purpose I need it for. Like it will stream videos to my TV well enough for my computer, which is the main reason I bought it for.
Yeah.
The Steam controller works well to just kind of like drive the mouse around and stuff like that. That's fine. But yeah, for playing games and stuff like that, I have no idea. Also, it cannot stream a YouTube video at all.
Really?
I don't know what it is about the YouTube player, but yeah, if you try to play YouTube video, it'll just hitch and miss audio and sounds. Like, I thought something was wrong. I thought it was broken. But it's just, for some reason, YouTube stuff, but whatever. Also, that Steam controller seems like it was designed by a madman. And by that, I mean, like, Steam, Valve just has so much money, they're like, we'll just design whatever we want. Like, you know how most controllers, you put both the batteries in the very center and the back?
Mm-hmm.
Not this thing. You put one battery in one, like, handle of the controller, one battery in the other handle of the controller.
That's like the Ouya controller.
You know how normally, like, when there's, like, a couple batteries in a thing, there's that little piece of ribbon you can pull to pop the batteries out?
Yeah.
Not in this thing. There's like a whole like lever switch mechanism to eject the battery out. Like, what are you talking about? Also, the cover that goes over the back of the controller to hold in the butt to hold the batteries in, it doesn't just have the little like piece of plastic that's like bent that you just push down and it just kind of acts like a spring like every other thing ever does. No, there's like a weird switch that you pull when it like ejects the thing out with a spring. Also, that battery cover is also a button. What? As an engineer, it just blew my mind. It's like, this is what happens when some company has infinite money for infinite R&D and they just do whatever they want.
That sounds overly engineered.
It is very different. So, I mean, they're like, they got money over there. They'll do whatever they want. So, back to the topical conversation. I played Micro Machines on my Super Nintendo.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, I was just poking around, like, well, I can play something for 10 minutes. And so, like, well, Micro Machines for the Super Nintendo. That's my choice, because the Super Nintendo is hooked up. So, I played that. I don't really have anything to say. It's Micro Machines on the Super Nintendo. It's fun to drive around a pool table as a little car and like run into people and bounce them off of a pool table. But it's the exact same. I don't know about the exact same, but it plays very similar to the NES Micro Machines, where it's just a top-down perspective. You are a Micro Machine, so small car in a big world. You're driving around a pool table. You're driving around on the breakfast table, ramping over cereal boxes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just like I remember on the NES version. It's easy when you start out, but then gets incredibly brutal hard once things go further. Because it seems like every race, the AI just gets a little better. And then by the time you're like, you know, 7 or 8 races in, they're unstoppable.
Yeah, and you have to be absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, programming AI in racing games back in the day, you know, it was hard for them to make it realistic. So it's just you're just driving a computer against a computer, basically. So that was fun. I don't know. Took, you know, half an hour just poking around with that, getting to play an old game I haven't played in a long, long time. I've also been putting some time into Blue Reflection. I've been trying to finish that up. I think I'm like chapter 7 or 8 at this point, so I'm getting close. There's only a dozen chapters. That game got hard. By that, I mean I had to take it off of hard.
Wow.
Like, yeah, like the individual battles, like, I could still do them on hard, but it just got to where it was just taking too long just for like every single random encounter. And not random, you can see all the enemies. But for every single encounter, it was just taking like 15 minutes for these fights. I'm like, I don't have this kind of time. I want to finish this game. So instead, I bumped it down to normal. And then I got to another boss fight. I thought, okay, this is on normal. This shouldn't be a problem. And got rolled twice over. To the point where I'm like, okay, Blue Reflection, this may be the end of my time with you, and check to make sure that I wasn't on hard, because that's what happened with one boss fight. But no, it was on normal. The third time, beat it with no problem. So I guess maybe I just got bad luck on some dice rolls twice in a row, and I was getting a bunch of crits hit on me. But I don't know, it was kind of weird. But I still like that game. I want to see it through the end. It has problems. It's very rough around the edges kind of thing, but it's got a certain charm to it. It is very hard to describe. Like, for example, there is a character you meet who is a reporter for the like newspaper club. And after you save her and she becomes one of the, you know, one of your allies, she will periodically write articles about like, oh, the magical, and it's written like a tabloid, like nobody would believe it. Like, oh, the magical girls, they saved us from a monster this week, and no one will ever know they're the heroes. And so it's just real cool to every now and then you go and you read these newspaper articles about, you know, the exploits of what you've just done. It's written like a tabloid from a Japanese schoolgirl, and it's like, well, nobody's going to believe this. It's clear it just sounds like she's just making it up. But it's cool, because it's like what you just did, describing, like, oh, they triumphantly defeated the enemy, and that's really charming. There's also a thing now where there is a hide-and-seek game within the game, and there's really not much to it. Like, there's a character who likes to make stuffed animals, and so she starts writing these clues, like, oh, I hid the stuffed animal in this place where it's real quiet, and there's a lot of books. Hard clue. Obviously, it's the library. And you go in there, and you find it, and it's just sitting on a shelf somewhere. There's no reward for doing it. You don't get anything. It's not a quest or anything. No. It's just, like, this fun little extra thing. Like, oh, one way, it's like, oh, I'm sitting somewhere now where all the second years will come and go, but why does everyone seem like they're getting taller or shorter? Like, oh, it's hidden on the staircase. You go and it's just like sitting on the banister of a staircase. It's just cute. Like, it's just got a charm to it that is really nice. And kind of also, like, it's fun to play a JRPG that didn't cost thousands of dollars, you know? Like, you can play your Persona 5s and your Final Fantasy 15s, and that's all great and everything, but you look at those games and just go, wow, that was expensive. They spent some time on this. You're looking at... I look at Blue Reflection, and it's like, okay, they had very limited resources, and they're doing the best with what they got, and there's... Not that there's not heart behind games like Persona or Final Fantasy, because there clearly is.
Mm-hmm.
But this game just feels more like a labor of love, you know, just because like they didn't have the big budgets. They didn't have the unlimited resources. They had very limited of both of those things, and they still tried to make a fun, cool game. You know, it's refreshing to know that, like, hey, you know, you don't have to have $1 million to make this giant JRPG. I like that game. I want to see it through.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But that is all I have played.
What are you buying?
So, as Shannon mentioned, Kohima Imbu Ryoirairai. R-O-Y-R-A-I-R-A-I. Is an updated version of Kohima Imbu, a fighting an all-female character Japanese anime fighter. I like it a lot. It's a fun game. They added a new character. They have removed the limitations of, like, the... support characters, so it used to be like it was class-based, now anyone can pick anyone. And they've made some other updates and stuff to the game. It's the same game, pretty much. The new character is fine. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fighting game expert, so I can't go into detail about why they've made this remade this game and what they've done. I don't really know. I just like the game a lot. I wanted to support it. I like it now that this is an actual official English release on PS4.
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's digital only, but if you want to check it out, it's $20 on PSN. It's also on Steam in English as well, which the previous Kohima Imbu was released on Steam in English, but this is the first time it's on PS4 in English. So yeah, really thrilled about that. So maybe check that game out if you like an anime fighter, because it's a pretty cool one. It's got some really good art, and it's a 4-button fighter. Very fun. I like it a lot.
It's a lot of fun. If anybody was at Tokyo and Tulsa last year, it was in the anime section of the game room.
Yeah, it's a cool game. The property it's based on, not the most PG, but we're not going to get into that. So just be warned, if you start looking into it, you might run across something questionable. But the fighting game itself doesn't seem to really be that bad. It's just your normal anime stuff. So.
No.
I also picked up an NES Mini controller, because I got that NES Mini, wanted to have the second controller, so I found one of those and picked it up.
Nice.
And my Pearl and Marina amiibo showed up. So very now cool. I got Off the Hook and the Squid Sisters, rocking it in front of my TV, so that's pretty rad.
Interesting fact about those NES controllers, I don't know what Nintendo's doing, because I service a lot of Target stores, and I talk to a lot of people in electronics departments, and almost every single one of them in the Memphis area, they, you know, the store's got 30, 40, 50 of the NES systems, but only got like 3 or 4 of the controllers.
Oh, really?
I don't know what Nintendo's doing.
Weird. Crazy. Well, I'm glad I got one then. I didn't realize they were so limited.
Yeah. They're still really hard to find, and looking for them on eBay is stupid.
Oh, well, I feel pretty fortunate then. I didn't realize that. I just, like I said, the Walmart near where I work had some, and I went by there that next morning before work and picked one up. So that was cool. Yeah. I've seen those NES Minis around, so they got a bunch of them out there. They're probably drying up by now. When we were down in Dallas for the Mika concert, I saw a couple down there. So yeah, they were out there, so, and hopefully they keep making them. So they said they'd be available till the end of the year, so... That is all for me, Tony. Why don't you tell me about... you haven't already talked about Minecraft, so that's been covered. So I'm going to guess you're going to talk about Fortnite.
I can talk about Fortnite, yeah. Like you said, I played a little bit of Minecraft. Played some Fortnite a couple nights this week. Did something I didn't know that I was ever going to do. I made a new friend in Fortnite.
Uh-oh.
Because I... had seen somebody talking online this week about just randomly dropping into duos matches, which is, you know, you and another person going against the other 98 people. And I thought, why not do that? That could be dangerous because, you know, you can hear everything your teammate is saying and you never know who you're going to get partnered up with. But the first person I got partnered up with was obviously someone who was a Nintendo fan. Their name was like Diddy Kong something or other. We ended up playing two or three matches together and getting pretty far. We never got a victory royale in any of the matches, but we did pretty good. Each of us got two or three kills each round. So we were doing pretty well together, and we ended up actually at the same time basically sending each other friend requests through Fortnite so we could play again in the future. And I think I might do that a little more and just drop into some duos so that I don't have a whole team that I'm dealing with, but just drop into some me and one other person and seeing what we can do and how far we can get. I have not picked up the Battle Pass for Season 5 yet. We're a couple weeks now into Season 5, and I still haven't picked that up, but I will probably do that before long so I can start getting some new skins and earning some of those challenges and things like that. But yeah, played, you know, a little bit of Fortnite this week. I will probably play some more after the show because I kind of like it. Let's see. I played Mario Kart this week because it's not in the news, but there was an update to Mario Kart that added a new character this week, sort of. Sort of. There was an update to Mario Kart. They fixed a couple of things. It was a little patch. But they also added Breath of the Wild Link as a selectable, you know, version of Link in the game. So now you can choose Twilight Princess Link or Breath of the Wild Link. And they also added the motorcycle from Breath of the Wild as a cart in the game or as a motorcycle in the game.
That's cool.
So I played some Mario Kart with the kids this week and I played as Link, and that new motorcycle looks really cool in that game. It was really fun to play that, hang out with the kids and have fun playing Mario Kart. I, of course, lost. I can't beat Jake, and I can't beat KEI. I always end up third, no matter what happens. But still having fun with that. And then the last thing that I played was a little bit more Sonic Mania. I'm trying to finish that up so I can get that review up on the site this week. And my opinion on one of the characters from last week has changed.
Really?
Yeah, last week I talked about not liking Ray very much. I didn't think he was really fun to play.
I was screaming at my iPhone hearing you badmouth Ray the Squirrel, dang it.
My opinion of Ray has changed, Shelby.
Good. Ray's awesome.
I don't think I gave him much of a fair shake last week. I just played a couple of levels with him, really, and played through about half of the game this week with him, and got really used to his flying mechanic and exactly how it works. It's a lot like the cape from Super Mario World. But yeah, I got to the point where I was enjoying playing as him, and both of those new characters, I think, are a lot of fun after having actually spent enough time with them to learn how to play each of them. So, I mean, other than that, it's more Sonic Mania. That Encore mode is really cool, getting to switch between the different characters, and you at, you know, different times you can have all of the characters available, but you can only have two on the screen at any one time. So playing through the game that way is really cool. And when they do that, the level layouts change a little bit playing through that. I don't know if I talked about that last week or not. But yeah, the Encore mode does some stuff to remix the levels a little bit from the original game to take advantage of each of the different characters. And that's a really fun way to play through Sonic Mania. If you've played it already and you want to maybe play through it again, if you're new to the game, I would play through the regular mode first and then go and play through this Encore mode. But yeah, that game is fantastic. That you can tell that team really knows and really loves Sonic games. Because it's really, really good.
I'm glad you like Ray the Flying Squirrel. I don't have to come hurt you now.
I do. I really do.
Because Mighty would find you. That dude will mess you up. You throw a tank.
Yeah, he would be scary to walk up on in, you know, an alley. But yeah, that game is fantastic. I cannot wait. I hope, and I'm almost certain we'll get a Sonic Mania 2. But I would absolutely love to play through another game in that series. But that is all that I played.
What are you buying?
And I don't think I bought anything. So, let's take a quick break. We will come back and we'll talk about the news. All right, so first up is lawsuit talk. Nintendo, everybody loves lawsuit talk.
Yeah.
Nintendo this week has reportedly filed
a podcast, Lawsuit Talk. Bob blah, blah, blah.
There's probably a podcast out there.
Everyone but Tony has seen Arrested Development.
I have not seen Arrested Development, no. So I do not get that joke. But Nintendo has reportedly filed a lawsuit at federal court in Arizona this week with the publisher of two different ROM and emulator websites. They're not mentioned in the news story I had seen. For unfair competition as well as copyright and trademark infringement. Basically for distributing ROMs of Nintendo's games illegally, according to them. And they're requesting, Nintendo is, damages that amount to $150,000 per infringement and up to $2 million for each trademark infringement. And it could, in theory, equal up to about $100 million in damages.
Mm.
And in addition to the compensation for those damages, Nintendo wants both of the websites to shut down, wants the domain names to be handed over to them, and to have the websites reveal where they're getting the ROMs from.
Okay.
So.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be something that comes from this. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think if nothing else, the websites are probably going to have to pull the Nintendo ROMs, because I've seen other sites that have had to do that in the past. Places that you could get ROMs previously, you no longer can. The websites are all still up, so this will get settled, and something will happen, and all of the Nintendo ROMs will probably be pulled from the site at some point.
Okay, sure. It's the internet. Like, you can't stop it.
And yeah, those things are all out there. You're never going to be able to track down every place that is distributing those ROMs.
It doesn't mean they shouldn't try. I mean,
no, piracy's a absolutely
problem, so I got no problem with that. But I don't know. It's make it easier for people to play your games legally than it is for them to download them. That's the only way you're going to ever beat piracy.
That's true. And to some extent, Nintendo has done that a little bit with, you know, the release of the NES and the SNES classics, but that's only still for a limited number of games. If only Nintendo would
sell or make some sort of service to distribute their classic library of games.
Yeah. What could they possibly do?
I don't know. Neither do they.
Put out more chunks of plastic and call them a classic edition, and I don't know.
I mean, they could even distribute them virtually in like a digital fashion. So, I mean, something could happen. I guess we'll see later this year exactly what plans they have for some of that.
Yeah, I still don't think they know.
I don't think they have
a good plan, because if they did, it would be out by now, right? Like, the Switch is pretty hot. Like, having a Switch plus all their games, if they're wanting 20 new games on the Switch digital store every week and stuff like that. Like, if they had an approach to that, you'd think they would have done it by now. So that kind of tells me that they haven't quite worked out the details. Like, they talked like, oh, we'll have a rotating library. And like, oh, we're going to add online support to Clue Land or whatever the heck it was. Like, I don't know.
So, yeah. I really want them to finally give us details about that. Exactly what's going to happen. But, Shannon?
Yeah.
What would you say if I told you at one point in time there were plans for a new Tingle game?
Where is my Tingle game?
Not only was this a Tingle game, but it was a horror game starring Tingle.
That sounds amazing!
Sounds like every other Tingle game.
Hey.
Kotaku recently did an interview with Kensuke Tanabe, who works at Nintendo. And he said that about 8 years ago, they were developing a horror game with developer Vanpool that starred Tingle as the main character, but the project was canceled due to a variety of reasons.
Dang it.
He didn't want to say what platform it was for. A lot of people are speculating it was probably for the 3DS because all of the Tingle games, I think, were on the DS previously to that.
Yeah.
But yeah. There were plans and possibly, you know, concepts and designs and sketches for a Tingle horror game.
That sounds pretty good.
I think that's a sad reality of game development. The majority of games we never even hear about because they get canceled before they get to where they even can show anything.
Yeah.
I think that's the secret that we really don't know.
We'll never know how many games were in development in some form and were never shown off to people because they were canceled before they got you know, publicly shown off. It would be really interesting to see what some of those games were and maybe some of the reasons for why they were canceled. But we may never. And that includes a Tingle horror game.
You know, they never localized two of the three that they made for the DS. I mean, they just left them to die in Japan. So I imagine it probably happened around the swell of the last one, which was Tingle's Balloon Trip of Love. And, you know, it just probably, they looked at sales and determined it wasn't worth it. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously those games must not have sold very well, even in Japan.
Which stinks because they're amazing.
Yeah. Still, one of my favorite memories of this podcast is you describing your time with Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land and something else.
So good. It's so good. Man, you know, the game takes away your written name. Hey, what do you want your character to be named? Shannon. 5 minutes into the game. You're Tingle.
You're Tingle now. Yeah, you don't need
You're Tingle now. She's gone. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I mean, it did sound like a fantastic game. I've never played it. I really should try to find a copy of it at some point. But yeah, I cannot even imagine what a Tingle horror game would look like.
I can.
Yeah, me too.
I just don't want to think about it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, in the latest issue of Famitsu, Sakurai talked about Smash Brothers.
Of course.
And he said, specifically talking about the roster size, he says the amount of fighters in the next Smash Brothers game is likely to be smaller than what you've seen in Smash Brothers Ultimate. He said he believes that you can only bring back every single fighter once so that it's a very special event. That also leads him to believe that future Smash titles might be a bit sabotaged due to the grandiose nature of this outing.
He's talking about the game after Ultimate?
Yes.
What?
I was confused for a moment, but okay.
He is talking about the game that comes after the game we're getting this year.
Can we just...
I mean, somebody probably asked him, to be fair. Like, I doubt he wanted to talk about it, but...
Oh.
They probably ask specifically, you know, will we ever see this roster size again? And he said no. He thinks the next one will be smaller, which, you know, indicates that even he thinks, even if this is his last one and he doesn't work on the next one, even he thinks there's going to be a Smash Brothers game after this one and that Nintendo's not going to let this franchise die.
They'd be foolish to let it die. Really? I mean, and you got to think, how many different companies are all involved in Ultimate just by having a character in their in some way, shape, or form? I mean, you just almost every gaming franchise imaginable in some, or I mean, not franchise, but every gaming major production company from the last 20 years is involved,
you know,
in some way.
Capcom, Sega, Konami, Bandai, Nintendo, obviously. Who else? There's at least five, if not more.
This kind of stuff doesn't happen unless there's somebody like a Sakurai leading the charge. Like, not that, you know, other people can't develop games, but it was similar to when Inafune left Capcom. Like, a lot of Capcom's projects just kind of started to die out that he was in charge of because he wasn't there to, you know, be the one pushing behind him, be the one championing those things. So, you know, people that have been developing games for a long time and that have the pedigree as something like somebody like Sakurai does, he's got a lot of pull. He can make stuff happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I almost think it would be kind of okay to take a step back in the next one and kind of build it up a little bit more, because it has to be a near impossible task to balance a roster that has more than 50 characters in it.
Yeah. Smash Brothers has never been the most balanced of games, I would say, either. So
we also have like other games that have similar experiences, like Mortal Kombat. What was it? Ultimate or something that was on the 64 had like a ton of characters and they had to start cutting back after that.
Mm-hmm.
Just your roster grows so large, it's a pain in the butt to work with after a while.
Yeah. Speaking of fighting games, this wasn't really in the news, but I saw that Brawlout, that, you know, Smash Brothers style game that's been on the Switch for a while now, is coming to the PS4, and they're adding a new character to their roster with that launch, and Yooka-Laylee will be playable as a fighter in that game.
Cool.
And that'll only bring their roster to like maybe 10 or 11 characters total. So, but that has been doing fairly well on the Switch. I think it's had, you know, somewhere around 150,000 or 200,000 players at any one time playing that game. I saw that a little bit earlier today. Then the last bit of news, I just thought this was an interesting bit of news since I've been playing Fortnite. That game is doing very, very well for Epic. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, I heard that Epic just started handing out money.
They probably have, because that game has made Epic $1 billion just from in-game purchases.
Wow.
So,
jeez.
They've made a lot of money.
Remember when PUBG was like the biggest thing and it came out of nowhere and I was like, man, that's amazing. This isn't going to happen again for another decade. Oh, wait, no, it already happened again. And this is way bigger than PUBG ever was somehow.
Yeah.
And the whole legality thing of like, oh, Epic helped us make PUBG and now they're making their own game. That was all weird. Nobody cares about that anymore. I was like, yeah, give me more Fortnite. Whoa.
I don't know if I'm making this up, but I think I saw not too long ago that whole PUBG Fortnite lawsuit thing has been dropped.
Yeah, they dropped it. It was like only in like Korea or something as well. So
yeah. $1 billion, and they also said that in the month of May, 700 million hours of Battle Royale content was watched. Mostly on, you know, places like YouTube and Twitch, and Fortnite accounted for 83% of those 700 million hours.
Jeez. Big streaming game.
I mean, I don't remember what Minecraft was when it was sort of at its peak in terms of, you know, visibility on places like YouTube, but it was a huge number as well. And, you know, so this is probably comparable to Minecraft in its biggest point. So, but yeah, $1 billion. That is unthinkable. I mean, What other companies have made $1 billion in their games?
I mean, yeah, it's a thing. What gets me is I have zero interest in ever playing that game.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't like
it. I mean, it really is. It's definitely not a game that's for everyone, and yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah, I don't have a chip on my shoulder or anything. I don't have any problems with the game. I imagine it's probably fun for people to like the kind of stuff. I just don't like online shooters, competitive. I don't like, you know, just kind of a game where, like, there's not, like, a story or anything like that. It's just 100% not my kind of game, so.
Well, I mean, and there is a portion of that game that has a story. There is a Left 4 Dead style game that you can play in that. That you have to buy that portion of the game, and it's not available on like Switch. It's only on PC. I think maybe the PS4 has it. I don't remember.
This is the non-battle royale part of Fortnite, though.
Yeah, it's a PvE.
Like what Fortnite was when they first started making the game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 4-player squads. It is just like like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I don't like Left 4 Dead either.
So, Fortnite's probably not a game you'd be very interested in.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like, hey, Minecraft, while I understand it's cool and people like it, like, that's not a game I really want to play either. No. And I never really wanted to play PUBG, so, like, whatever. It's just...
Yeah, see, and I've never had any interest in PUBG. Part of the reason I even gave Fortnite a shot was just because it was a free-to-play game. And PUBG's not. You have to buy that.
Yeah. I have Fortnite on my PS4, only because the guys at work keep saying, hey, let's play Fortnite with us. And I feel bad for telling them no over and over. I'm like, I downloaded it maybe one of these days. I don't plan on ever playing it. But
and you know. I would probably never play that game on my PS4 because I can't tie my account to it. The second I do, I would lose any chance to you know, take content back and forth between platforms.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. So if I ever feel so guilty, and I don't know, maybe one of these things will line up and I'll give it a try. Like, it could be fun playing with coworkers, but yeah, not really my thing.
No. So. But there you go. That is the news for this week. So let's move on to listener feedback. And our first one this week comes from Chris via Facebook. We talked a little bit about this earlier. He wants to know if any of us have heard anything about when Nintendo may start charging for online. Any theories? And if so, are there going to be free games like the competing consoles have? We know some of those answers. The service starts in September, so we're getting close. It's $20 for an individual, $30 for a family of up to 6, I believe. Is that right?
I've lost a thread on what their online offerings are going to be. I feel like they've changed it 2 or 3 times. So,
and I need to figure out how to get all of my family on one thing, because a couple of my kids have somehow gotten tied into my Japanese account. And a couple of my kids are tied to my regular account, so I'm not sure how that happened. I need to figure out how to get them all back together.
It sounds like you got a whole thing going on over there.
It's really strange. I don't know how it happened. But yeah, if everybody wants to be able to take advantage of that, I think we've got to all get attached to one profile. And are there going to be any free games? The answer to that is yes. Because there are those, it's not going to be like Xbox Live Gold or PlayStation Plus, where they're rotating, you know, 3 or 4 games, and they're giving you those for free, and then you'll just have those as long as you're a subscriber. Right now, all we know of is, like, I think it's 10 NES games that they're going to be making available when the service launches. That will have voice chat and online play. So you'll be able to play online with those 10 NES games. You'll get those for free for being a subscriber to the service. That's literally all we know.
It's so weird that they're going in, putting in the effort to make those games, like, online compatible, when if they would just, like, have some sort of, like, you know, giant library of games where you could just play all the stuff that you want, you know. As much as you want, whenever, just, you know, all you can eat kind of thing. It seems like that. I mean, that seems like what most people want, right? Want to be able to play that stuff whenever they want and not have to pay $5 a la carte for them.
Yeah. I think if you ask most players, they'd be like, I would subscribe to this service in a second if I had access to the entire NES, you know, Super Nintendo library.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder why they don't just do that. Maybe they're worried, like, if there's so much, people won't care. Like, I could see that argument, I guess. If you have access to everything, you play nothing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah, and I think they've said that there will be some way that you can... You'll get those 10 games, but then there will be some way for you to be able to purchase those so that you could have them even if you're not subscribed to the service. It's still very unclear as to everything this Nintendo Online service is going to give us. So I really, really hope... Very soon, they start to finally tell people what that's going to be about so that we can make that determination whether it's going to be worth it or not.
I wonder how much it's going to affect games like Splatoon 2 that have, like, you know, their healthy online communities, and all of a sudden, oh, you got to pay for this now. Like, well, I guess I'm just done with Splatoon 2. People just walk away, and hopefully those games won't just silently die. But
yeah, because the second Nintendo's online service starts, Splatoon... probably games like Fortnite, Minecraft, all of those games that you play online, you're going to have to subscribe to this service.
That stinks. I could have seen them applying it to games moving forward, but
yeah, no, it's not like those games are going to be separate from games that come after the start of the service. Any game that takes you have to go online, you're going to have to be subscribed to the service.
And I'm pretty sure you can, if for like on PS4, for example, I don't think you have to have Plus to play Fortnite. I looked into that when people were trying to get me to play it. So I don't know if that'll be an exception, if there will be any exceptions like that. But it seems fairly obvious that once you have to all of a sudden start paying to play these games online that were once free, those online communities are going to take a significant dive in player count.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very good question, because games like Fortnite, any of the free to play list of games on the PlayStation, you don't have to have Plus to play those online. And I think it's the same way for the Xbox. I'm not entirely sure about that. But how's that going to work on Nintendo? Are you for those free to play games, are you going to have to be subscribed to the service? That is still unclear. So. I guess hopefully we'll find out pretty soon. Lang via Facebook says the Monster Hunter cross Final Fantasy 14 crossover is happening, and it hits all the crossover itch I want: mechanics, crossovers, and rewards. What crossovers do you want next for whatever game you're playing? Maybe Destiny cross Warframe?
I want Animal Crossing cross Animal Crossing. Give me Animal Crossing.
It's like a Capcom fighting game, Animal Crossing, cross Animal Crossing, Animal Crossing, cross Crossing, Crossing. Ooh.
Let's go for it.
No, it would just be Animal Crossing, and then it would just be like Animal X is all it is.
Animal X!
I don't know.
I don't know, what games am I playing right now? So, Blue Reflection cross Persona 2 Eternal Punishment, two JRPGs separated by 20 years of time, crossover finally.
I'm playing, you know, Minecraft and Sonic and Fortnite. That's what I'm playing. So,
it'd be pretty weird if all of a sudden in Blue Reflection, some reporter showed up with dual pistols and started shooting things in the face. Just blah, blah. Dude that's tapping wire phones all of a sudden shows up at a school. He'd get arrested. Luckily, there would be a cop there.
And you know, some of the crossovers I'd have wanted have already happened, like Dynasty Warriors and Fire Emblem. I've got that. I don't need to wish for that anymore. It's already happened. So I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know of a lot of game crossover stuff that I'm trying to think of anything that really stands out. I guess the biggest thing I can think of now is like the guest characters in Smash.
Mario cross Sonic.
The Olympic Games stuff? That's not all that great. It's fine, but...
Bayonetta cross Devil May Cry.
Bayonet across Bullet Witch.
I was avoiding saying it for reasons.
Oh, I would say it. So, and it's not a video game specifically, but I just saw this news as I was looking through stuff for the show. Power Rangers Cross Street Fighter is happening.
What?
Wow.
It's not a game?
Hold on. At Comic-Con on Thursday, Lionsgate Interactive revealed a trailer for Power Rangers Legacy Wars Street Fighter Showdown, a short film that crosses Hasbro's Power Rangers with Capcom Street Fighter. It's live action, and it premieres this fall.
Huh.
The story follows ex-Rangers Tommy, Oliver, and Gia. Of course, it's always going to have Tommy. He's the only one that ever comes back.
I mean, he's the greatest Power Ranger of all time. I mean, that's a fact, both in universe and in just like normal canon. So,
the film follows Tommy and Gia, who is the Yellow Ranger from Power Rangers Megaforce, as they team up with Ryu and Chun-Li to fight M. Bison, who has captured several Power Rangers and is turning them against the others.
This is just the Shattered Grid storyline from the comics, basically, except they're bringing in the Street Fighter stuff. Yeah, that stuff is stellar, by the way. Anybody that is reading those Power Ranger comics, if you're a Power Rangers fan, like, they're definitely what Spider-Verse did for Spider-Man is what the Shattered Dimensions or Shattered Grid thing is doing for Power Rangers. It's quite awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good.
So, yeah, so that will be a short film that will come out in the fall. Power Rangers Cross Street Fighter.
I'd play that fighting game. Well, I wouldn't be very good at it, but it'd be cool.
Maybe that'll happen. Street Fighter 5 gets Power Rangers DLC.
That's a crossover game I want. Just like take all the okay. So let's get Power Rangers. Let's get some Ninja Turtles. Let's get some Street Fighter. I'm just describing Mugen at this point, aren't I? Never mind.
Let's see. And then our last one comes from Cole via Facebook, who wants to know what is the best Donkey Kong game.
Oh, I don't know.
Donkey Konga.
Definitely not.
I'm going to say Tropical Freeze. I think that's the best one that I've played.
I would say Donkey Kong Country 2.
Donkey Kong Country 2 is pretty amazing.
And what were you going to say, Shelby?
The list of ones I've played are pretty short. Like, I played Donkey Kong Country. I've probably played the original Donkey Kong here and there. Diddy Kong Racing. Like, none of those really jump out to me as being great. Like, I understand the original Donkey Kong game is a classic and everything, but I'm terrible at it, so I don't think I ever get past the first screen. So, like, whatever.
I would like to give an honorable mention to King of Swing. That is an amazingly underrated game.
Is that on DS?
No, that's a Game Boy Advance
game.
Yeah, it's like a vertical platformer. You're constantly going up, but you're the L and R buttons control like your fists as you're grabbing onto these pegs kind of coming out from the background. Huh. And Donkey Kong is always rotating on them. It's really weird, but it's a fun game.
What about you, Ethan? What do you think is the best?
I really like Donkey Kong Country 3.
Is that Dixie's game?
Yes.
Okay.
What's that one in Nintendo Land where it's Donkey Kong's face and a little thing and you got to get the egg going around?
That's the one with, like, the cart. You have to go through the maze thing or whatever.
I had fun with that.
Yeah, I don't remember what that's called, but yeah, that game is incredibly frustrating.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I played it once for, like, 10 minutes and I got past the first, like, two levels and couldn't do the third and thought, well, I'm done with this.
Oh, I've finished it, but that game, and I think I've only finished it once, but that game is both fun and infuriating at the same time. So, and I cannot remember what it's called. So, but there you go. That will be the show for this week. So, if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-shoki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com. twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Also, if you're playing Minecraft, don't forget, join our realm. Come and have some fun with us. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show this week.
I'm not apologizing if Mike gets scared when he walks into his house.
Thank you, Shannon.
Pleasure as always.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for co-hosting this craziness.
I feel bad for Mike. Oh, don't know what's waiting for him, but it's probably not good.
Probably not.
Don't blink.
Having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
Podcast can't go on. We have to stop. We have to stop. There's no...
I mean, we're not going to top that for the rest of the night.
No. You got to go out on a high note. And unfortunately, sometimes the high notes come sooner rather than later.
You set it up and I spiked it.
I mean, you knocked it down. Trust me, you knocked it down.
I mean, that would either be the best episode ever or the worst episode ever.
I don't think anybody would complain if the podcast was 5 minutes long after that joke. Nope.